seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the second book of the Chronicles, chapter 32 and the 8th verse. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 32 and verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The second book of the Chronicles, chapter 32 and verse 8. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You will remember that we looked at the previous verse this morning and how wonderfully the Lord enabled Hezekiah to speak to the people. We noted this morning how they were faced, Hezekiah and Judah, with the great army of the of Assyria, and how the Lord wonderfully delivered them from his great power. But I want us help this afternoon to look a little at this eighth verse. With him is an arm of flesh. Now, this is what Hezekiah observed concerning Sennacherib, who was king of Assyria. He had got an arm to fight against Judah and Hezekiah and the people of Judah, but his arm was only an arm of flesh. He could go no further than that arm of flesh would permit. And it's a solemn thing, you know, if we are resting on anything that is of the flesh. The Lord said in his word that no flesh shall glory in his presence. And we have to solemnly learn that, don't we? All the time flesh tries to be something. There is no room for the Lord in the sinner's heart. All the time they're serving in the flesh. And there was no time here in the case of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, for the things of God or the people of God or the ways of God. All he wanted to do was that which pleased his own flesh. And the Lord had given Hezekiah wonderful discernment to discern the difference between how he himself and the children of Israel were compared with Sennacherib and the Assyrians. All the Assyrians wanted to do was to please that which was of the flesh. Really, they were good agents of the devil, Satan. But you see, the Lord was to wonderfully, as we noted this morning in that previous verse, worked wondrously for Hezekiah and Judah and the people of Judah. With him, Hezekiah said, is an arm of flesh. Now, this is not just what Hezekiah said, it's what the Holy Spirit has recorded. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, Jesus said. And it's a solemn thing if we spend our life just serving the flesh, serving self or serving man. But it was not so with Hezekiah. What does he say? Look at the difference between the king of Assyria, Sennacherib. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us. Dear Hezekiah knew what it was for the Lord to be with him. And oh, what a difference that makes, isn't it, to the real child of God, when the Lord is with us. We find that beautiful word, if God be for us, who then can be against us? And if you look at the children of Israel, when they were faced with Pharaoh and his hosts at the Red Sea, even Pharaoh saw that the Lord was with the children of Israel. Oh, he did. And this was what Sennacherib got to learn, that the Lord was with Hezekiah and the Lord's dear people. With us is the Lord our God. And then he tells us why the Lord, his God, was with him. He says, to help us. And I want us help this afternoon, firstly, to look a little at that. To help us. It's personal, you see. And yet, as he said, he didn't just say to help me as king and to rule the land and all the troubles they were in. It's help us. There's another parallel word to this, really, in that ninth chapter of Mark's Gospel, where the dear man brought his son to the Lord Jesus. And when he brought his son to the Lord Jesus, what did he say? You see, that son had been cast into the fire and into the water by Satan, trying to destroy him. And what did the dear man say? If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, that's a beautiful word, and have compassion on us and help us. Not only did Hezekiah here need the Lord's help personally, but the whole realm of Judah and all the Lord's people in it needed his help. Now look in your heart and mind this afternoon. Help us. And we may apply it to us as a people, a church and people. Help us. It's not just the pastor needs help. It's everyone, if we are true children of God, need the Lord's help, don't we? Going back to that dear man, he didn't say, Lord, help me, though that is a prayer that's so often in the heart of the child of God. When he said, help us, his son, that was in such a dire strait, needed the Lord's help just as the father did. They were one in it. And here we see, regarding the people of Judah and King Hezekiah, they were all one in this matter, you see. Oh, they were. Is help us. I remember your late beloved pastor, Mr. Sperling Tyler, preaching from that, you know, when I had received the invitation to go to Ashwell's pastor. And I shall never forget it. I went to the house of God and he spoke from those words, have compassion on us and help us. He says, what does this us mean? He said, it can mean a pastor and a people. It can mean father and son, mother or daughter. It can mean the whole family, us. And here we have it, you see. He says, with us is the Lord our God to help us, to help us. And you know, there's no helper, child of God, like the Lord. Oh no. Well, let's look at it in a few ways. Firstly, let's bring it right home into Zohar Chapel this afternoon. Do you and do I feel truly the need of the Lord's help? Because Hezekiah did here, and so did the people. Faced with this great army. They needed the Lord's help. And it may be in some particular way this afternoon, you need the Lord to help you. Lord, help us. And why do you need his help? Because you feel so much your helpless state. You cannot help yourself. What do we sing? And we often sing it, it's a beautiful hymn, when most we need his help in hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And the Lord was with them to help them, to deliver them from this great army. 185,000 men. And the Lord was with them to help them to overcome them. And it may be you're in something this afternoon. It may be in providence, it may be in your soul, it may be in the pathway, it may be in the family, it may be in the church of God. And you need the Lord to be with you, to help you through it all. And without his help, you could never continue, could you? Oh, I often think of dear the Apostle Paul when he was brought before King Agrippa and those nobles. What did he say in that beautiful testimony? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. He obtained that help. Now here, you see, Hezekiah and these dear children of Judah were to obtain that help. And where were they to obtain it from? From the Lord who was with them. No man could help them. They were in a position where no man could help them. And that's a searching place to be in. Oh, it is. And it's a lesson every true-born child of God will have to learn. There's no help in self. We hope to sing at the close that beautiful hymn, and there's so much reality in it. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. And we have, haven't we? The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. But he didn't leave it there. You know, I often bless the Lord that the dear hymn writer didn't leave it there. What does he go on to say? To Christ for help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Hezekiah and these dear people were brought to the place where the only place they could trust was in their Lord, in the God of heaven. It was he that was to help them. Oh yes. And as you look at the future and you look at the unknown way and the things that you may have to walk through, you're going to need his help. We read together, didn't we, in that 14th chapter, a very parallel word really concerning Asa. I've often read it at prayer meetings, you know, it's a beautiful word really. And we read this, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Oh, how many times the child of God will have to pray like Asa did. You know, there are many times we are brought into trials, afflictions, troubles, distresses, burdens, and there's a reason for it. And one of the reasons may be, in the Lord's hand, he brings us into them, to make us cry like he did Asa here. He cried unto the Lord his God. And what did faith say in him? Lord, it is nothing with thee to help. You see, the Lord is so different than earthly helpers. Oh, he is. You know, we are instructed to help each other in the road. And if we can help any, we would help them, wouldn't we? But you know, our help is so limited, isn't it? Because we are poor creatures of the earth. We may be able to help, one may be able to help him one way and one in another way and some in other ways. But there's a limit because we're creatures of the earth. But with the Lord, there's no limit to his help. When you most need it, he can help you, poor soul. Like with Hezekiah and the dear people here. It was only the Lord that could help them. Oh, it was. And they were to prove what another hymn writer said, their helper still is God. So he says here, but with us, and oh, what a word that is, isn't it, this but. Such a contrast between the Assyrians and Sennacherib and here with Hezekiah and the Lord's dear people. With him is an arm of flesh. That's all they'd got. What a solemn thing, isn't it, really? But with us is the Lord our God to help us. What a contrast, isn't it? The help that Hezekiah and the children of Judah and of Israel had, that help was divine help from heaven. Oh, it was. And it was he that was to destroy that great army. But with Sennacherib and the Assyrians, all they got was an arm of flesh. Nothing more than that. And really, if you look at it in the case of Goliath, when David went to fight against him and the Philistine army, all Goliath had got were things of the flesh that were pleasing to the flesh. The spear, the sword, the shield, the armour, it only protected flesh. Whereas David went up in the strength of the Lord God of Israel. The Lord, as our text said, was with David to help him. Oh, he was. And you look at the effect of it. We all know how the Lord put down Goliath in a moment by almighty power. And the Lord can put down the enemies of his dear people today by almighty power if they've got this God of Hezekiah as their God, their helper. What did the psalmist say? I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You see, he not only looked up, but he knew where that help came from. Heaven itself. And then we read too in another place in the Psalms this beautiful word, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. He's a happy soul that has the Lord as his helper. And then we have too another precious word. I have laid help on one that is mighty. And who was that one who is mighty? None other than the Lord Jesus himself. And the Lord had laid on him that help. Oh, he had. To help poor sinners. You think when the dear Saviour walked this earth, how he helped so many in their infirmities, in their afflictions, in their troubles, in their distresses. And help is laid upon one that is mighty. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Well, here we have the proof of it, as we looked at this morning, of the might of God fighting for dear Hezekiah, destroying that great army. Well, much could be said further on this second clause, but with us, and it's very humbling to be able to say it, isn't it? But with us. You know, as Hezekiah uttered this under the help of heaven, there was no pride in it. With us. He was humbled that the Lord God of heaven was with him to help us. And oh, as we venture on in the journey, may the Lord favour us to feel and to know this. And it will humble the sinner in their hearts, and it will enable them to praise his holy name for that help that's given. Oh yes. But before I come to the second part, there's this solemn point, really. Not only does the Lord help his dear people in their natural affairs each day, and we need it, but he helps them in their souls. And what a help it is when we can feel the Lord's presence with us. And what a help it is when he speaks to our souls. And what a help it is when he applies that precious blood that doth for sin atone and removes all the sin that plagues us and weighs us down. And what a help it is when he gives us grace to bear the trials, bear the afflictions, bear the cross. Oh, that help must come from the Lord. And then he goes further. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to and to fight our battles, and to fight our battles. Now, there are many things the child of God has to battle with. They have to battle with their old nature. You know, it's a solemn thing, our old nature. It's so much of this earth, it's so carnal. And with the child of God, there's this continual battle, you see, a warfare going on. What do we see in the Shunammite but a company of two armies? The flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. How many times does the flesh try and pull you one way but the spirit will pull you the other? Where there is the work of grace in the sinner's heart, there's a battle. The battle is within, a great noise sometimes. Oh, it is. The inward warfare. And that's a proof, poor soul, that you've got a real religion if you know something of that warfare within. That conflict within. But here we have this beautiful promise to fight our battles. The new man and the grey, the new man and the old by no means can agree. Of one in sin is bold, from sin the other's free. And oh, poor soul, this afternoon you may have some battles to encounter. You have battle with Satan, don't you? He's continually attacking. And if you've got a real religion, and I have, he'll attack it. Oh, he's trying to destroy God's work in the heart of the child of God. And we have here, don't we, to fight our battles. And oh, you think of how the Lord Jesus in those 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness was tempted by Satan. And there may be those of you this afternoon, the bitter temptations and how real they are of Satan. You think of the dear Redeemer, 40 days and 40 nights. The devil was trying to destroy the Lord of life and glory, but he couldn't, could he? And he cannot destroy any one of those the dear Redeemer came into this earth to save. He will try till they breathe their last breath, he attack. There'll be the battles. And then you see, you can't fight this battle yourself, can you? Dear Hezekiah had to learn that, and he speaks of it here, doesn't he? But the Lord was to fight it for him. Oh, he was. We sing in one of our hymns, don't we? A beautiful couplet, really. He fights our battles well. Oh, he does. Gird thy loins up, Christian soldier. And you see, really, the Christian is a soldier. They have many battles to go through their pilgrimage here below. But, you see, the Lord will fight for them. We think of the children of Israel at the Red Sea. What do we read? The Lord said this, ye shall hold your peace, and I will fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. This is what he told them. You know, when we're in a battle, it's hard, isn't it, not to complain. It's hard not to say the way is rough and the battle is difficult and trying, but he says, ye shall hold your peace, and I will fight for you. This is what the Lord told them. And I think of your late beloved pastor. He said once, you know, speaking of that word, he said, you know, that's one of the best prescriptions a child of God can ever have. Ye shall hold your peace, and I will fight for you. And here, this is what Hezekiah had to do. The Lord was to fight the battle, and he was to gain the victory. And to fight our battles. Now, none of us know what battles we may have to come into yet. You may be in your work, it may be the battles of many things against you from other religions and other gods. You see, we know not as a nation what we will come to. You think of those lands where there was much persecution. And with the inroads of many from all parts of the earth now and all the different denominations, we know not what will come in this land. You think back in the days of the persecutions, in days past, how the child of God was persecuted because they believed in none other than the Lord Jesus himself. I was reading only the other day of one in Pakistan who is a Christian lady, and oh, the persecution she's enduring. But you know, the Lord can fight these battles for us. The battle is not yours. He said it, didn't he, to Jehoshaphat? The battle is not yours, but God's. Is his battle, and he will gain the victory. So may this be of encouragement to those of you that may be battling through many things today, and to fight our battles, and this is what the Lord has promised to do. But then, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. The natural man would say, well, they were resting upon the king, but they weren't, you know. They were resting themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. They were the words of the Lord that he spoke to the people. Not on his words. Not in and of himself. You see, Hezekiah was well established in the truth and was the Lord's messenger on many occasions to the people. And they could rest on those words, what he spoke, as from the Lord. Let's be very clear about this. And what does the word rested mean? Well, the margin tells us they leaned upon the Lord. They leaned upon the words that were spoken. And have you, and let's bring it right home to us, have we got a word from the Lord that he has spoken, maybe through his servants in the ministry, maybe through the red word, or it may be audibly from heaven. And you've got a word you can rest on. You can lean on. Think of the spouse when she came up from the wilderness in the Song of Solomon, leaning upon her beloved. There was the sure foundation stone, leaning upon him. Have we got a promise to lean on? That we've tried and proved. And those words of Hezekiah, not only through the book of Chronicles, but through the book of Kings and through Isaiah, what Hezekiah said, words of profound truth. And they are words a sinner can rest on because they came from God. And oh, may we have those blessed promises to rest on, that a yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And be able to rest on those sacred words of his lips. You think of those dear souls while the Saviour was here upon this earth. Or think of the dear woman of Samaria. You look how the Lord spoke to her, and the word so entered into her heart, she could rest on it. And when she went into the city, what did she say to them? Come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And she could rest on his word, and rest on his finished work, and rest on his salvation that he gave to sinners. Where are you resting, and where am I this afternoon? What does the hymn writer say? When thy eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim. And the child of God may often fear they are sinking to utter despair. But like Mr. Frank Gosden said once, I felt I'd sink into all my trouble. He said, instead of that, I had to sink into the arms of the dear Redeemer. And those arms, poor soul, will never fail. They didn't fail Hezekiah, did they? And with all this great 185,000 against him, those arms of the Lord never failed, but the arms of the flesh of Sennacherib and the army soon failed, didn't they? Well, may we have the blessed application of these two precious verses in our souls as we venture on in the journey. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Amen.